This is Shudders Inc. with Bruce Williams and Glyn Lavender.
Hi, and welcome to episode 274 of Shudders Inc. This is Bruce Williams from shuddersincpodcast.com, and joining me on the line via Skype from Melbourne from creativephotoworkshops.com.au, Mr. Glyn Lavender. How are you?
In severe pain.
Is this metaphorical or literal?
Yes.
Right.
I tell you, listeners, the things I do for you.
Right.
In my head right now, a searing white light of pain, of a vision of Brian Mundy naked in his jacuzzi.
You're still harping on about this.
I can't get it out of my head. You know, do you have a sleep I got last night, Bruce?
No.
73 minutes. And it wasn't all in a row. It was spread out over a few hours. I know, because I've got one of these little training bandy army wristy things.
Oh, a sleep tracker.
And a walking tracker and a foul language tracker and all that kind of stuff. At least the foul language is the one that's
selling. Has your sleep tracker been maxed out?
I don't do the day naps.
Oh,
yeah, I don't put on. It just says you've been inactive for an awful long time. I'm trying to steer past the Mundy vision,
right,
and power through. But if from time to time you hear some weird noises, it's just me trying to fight it out. You know,
I thought maybe the cause of your emotional pain might have been having had your photograph taken yesterday at a workshop.
I did have my photograph taken yesterday, didn't I? I forgot the first rule of Flash Club.
Which is?
Don't leave your camera unattended whilst you're demonstrating to a model what you want them to do.
Yes. I learned that lesson on the night I got my Alpha 850 in Melbourne. Do you remember that?
You're going back in time now.
Were you there? I'm pretty sure you were there.
Dude, I struggle to remember what happened last week. Right. Like decades ago, that camera game, man.
Maybe you weren't there. I know Richard Annable was there and Shelton was there, and it was a Christmas – it was a New Year party. That's right. I went down for a New Year party, and we booked a space in this pub, and it was the – yeah, you upstairs. Were there because you brought there, the, you was, brought the camera.
I was holding court.
You brought the camera for me.
I did too. I was holding court around the corner, if you remember.
What were you doing around the corner?
Well, holding court is what I was accused of doing.
Right.
As in, me and the trouble and strife sat on this chair all night and didn't get off it.
Oh.
And had our so-called acolytes come and sit around and talk to me.
Right.
What it was is I'm terrible at socialising. I don't like parties and I'd love to sit in the corner. So I did, and then people came and found me out and sat there too, which mostly defeated the purpose.
Right.
I was there, and hence why I don't remember any part of the night, because I was ignoring everybody effectively.
Right. Well, I left my camera lying around, and Richard Annable made very good use of it.
Excellent.
And I ended up with hundreds of very silly photos on my new camera.
You've seen Richard's photography, haven't you? Yeah. he probably wasn't trying to be funny. Oh, I'm only being serious, Richard. You know that.
Anyway, what have you been up to this week?
You know, I've had a good 7 days since we last spoke. I had to stop taking photographs of my girls this last week.
Right? Why?
I've been doing every day. I've been doing a little natural light shoot session with the girls. Well, the person whose house I was going to, I was taking all the photographs to feed their dog.
Yes.
Well, she came back from holidays.
How rude!
I know, so I had to stop taking the photos. Couldn't keep popping into her lounge room and taking I'll just move the TV out the way there, will you, love?
You didn't get a second set of keys cut to the house while she was gone? Just let yourself in as you need to.
Well, I did. I did get a second set of keys cut. The problem was they had they got a little alarm. Yeah, they got an alarm at the house. The remote control for the alarms, like when there's things that unlock and lock your car.
Oh, okay.
Couldn't get that done.
Yeah, right.
So I wasted the money on the key. Unbelievable. So I had to stop shooting them. So I haven't really taken any photos of the kids this week.
Right.
But I've been playing around with the Elenchrom ELC studio lights this week.
Okay. And what is their claim to fame?
Well, I'm glad you asked. I'm sure so are the people at Elenchrom. Now, look, you know me. I'm a straight shooter when it comes to gear.
Yep.
Right? If it's marketing crap, I'm not interested. If it's just another same old, I'll say it as it is.
Mm-hmm.
These things are the bomb.
Okay.
The great joy about them. Now, these are expensive lights. They're like $1,400 a head, which is not massive. You know, in the world of photography, it's not the most expensive.
It's middle of the range.
Yeah. And before buying three of those, it kind of adds up.
Yep.
But where they are awesome is, first up, you can do basically a rear curtain sync with them.
Nice.
Let's say you're doing a 1 second photograph.
Yep.
You can have the flash set to fire at 0.9 of a second or 0.8 or 0.7. You can choose the time, the exact moment the flash will fire during your exposure.
Wow.
Which is pretty darn cool.
That's trippy.
But at the same time, their modeling lamps are like twice as powerful as any other modeling lamp going around that I've seen.
Right.
And you can use that modeling lamp during, so let's say you need a 3 second exposure of somebody moving.
Yeah.
The modeling lamp for those 3 seconds will often throw enough ambient light just to record the blur of movement.
Right.
Or the swirl or whatever it may be, the swoosh.
Yep.
And then the flash goes far as it then freezes the subject.
Yep.
So that's one really cool feature. Secondly, they've got incredibly short duration flash times.
Right.
Up to 1/5,000th of a second.
Wow.
But what's really cool about it, which is great, and there's lots of flashes out there that fire fast.
Yep.
But the great thing about this is it actually shows you on the display when you reach the optimum speed. It actually shows you exactly what speed each power setting is going to shoot at. So as you vary the power on any flash, the flash duration changes.
Right.
The length of time the flash will fire for changes.
Yes, okay.
So if you're shooting at full power, quarter power, the actual flash duration changes in all of those.
It gets longer.
Even a normal speed light.
Yeah.
As you go more powerful.
Yeah.
And shorter as you get less. But this, you can actually, but you'd have no idea what actual time frame it's going to be firing at.
Right.
I mean, there's no way of knowing them unless you have some way of measuring speed of light.
Some sort of check, cheat sheet that came with it.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. I haven't seen any of that. But this,
right,
on the digital panel on the back, as you vary the power, it shows you exactly what speed it's going to fire at.
Wow.
So if you're trying to find, I need to freeze subjects, I want to get the fastest possible power, you'll know exactly when you're at it.
Right.
And that's pretty darn helpful, as you can imagine.
Okay.
I was doing some, dropping some coins into liquid to get splooshes.
Right. But can I just ask a question? Is there ever a time where too short a burst could be working against you?
Well, absolutely. It depends on what you want, what the effect you're looking for as well. Sometimes you want movement in a shot.
Right. But sometimes the idea of flash is that you're trying to freeze subject.
Not necessarily.
Oh, okay.
So, I mean, you might want to have some movement and freeze.
Right.
And this is the playground where you can try different stuff. So the typical example, if you're dropping a coin into a container of water, you may want a little bit of movement in that coin to show the movement of the coin dropping.
Right.
Where if it's completely frozen, it looks like it's just been stuck in midair.
Right.
So sometimes you want that play of movement and freezing and froze. So I was doing exactly that. I was hired by Elenchrom to do some training at Photographic Studies College down here in Melbourne, demonstrating the new lights for them.
Okay.
And of course, never having used them and only having got them like the day before the training, put the kid in daycare for the day and had a day, dropping various household toys and things into various bottles and containers of liquid and seeing what sort of results I was getting out of it at different times and using the different modes.
Right.
So once again, that duration was pretty darn, when you're trying to freeze stuff like that, it's nice to know you're at the absolute maximum speed the thing's going to produce. But then the other cool thing about it is once I'm at that maximum speed, well, I can then choose how many flashes I want to go off during the duration of the exposure.
Right.
So I can have up to 20 flashes fire during my exposure.
Depending on the length of the shutter.
Well, depending on the length of time. But yeah, I'm shooting, most of this stuff is about between 1 and 3 seconds. There's the stuff I've been doing with dropping liquid.
Oh, okay,
stuffing liquid.
Cool. Yep.
So I can, but I can choose if I want 20 flashes over those 3 seconds, or 10 flashes over those 3 seconds, or five flashes,
nice.
Or over 1 second, over half a second, or a tenth of a second, or whatever it may be.
Wow.
So you can dial that up. And the advantage, once again, of doing that with the liquid is you get all those secondary splashes that you would normally miss.
Yeah, right.
You know, all those extra, you get the main splash, and then there's all this other ancillary stuff going off. Well, it captures all those as well.
Wow.
Which is pretty darn cool. So that was a bit of fun. So I had a bit of play with those. And then the next day went down to, which is yesterday, went down to Photographic Studies College. We had this great, this lovely girl, Alicia, who's a circus performer.
Hmm.
And a dancer and a bit of a gymnast. So I had her with a scantily clad little costume on and big Chinese fans and a set of my wings to flap around the studio and jump and do all sorts of stuff. So we played with high speed and frozen midair. I've got to tell you, it's amazing. You get someone to run and jump midair and absolutely crystal clear, perfect sharpness, magnified to 100%, and it is, God forbid, tack sharp. But its freezing abilities are fantastic.
But just because of the 5,000th of a second.
Yeah, because you can set it, once again, to get the absolute optimum freezing, if that's what you're after.
Yeah. So even though your shutter's open for a 250th, the light burst is so much shorter that it still freezes it.
Absolutely.
Wow.
That's
awesome.
Exactly. And so with some of the stuff we're getting, didn't have a lot of time to play. The whole training session only went for a couple of hours, and that included showing all the gear off first. So we probably got 20 or 30 minutes maybe shooting time and all that. But we got some pretty cool shots, some reasonably cool shots, once again, using them to shoot a real-life subject and coming up with realizing, okay, where there's problems with this system as well. So I was doing this shot of Alicia where she had a set of my wings on her, right? And she's basically just lifting her arms up and down like she's flying, trying to fly.
Yep.
But because the flash fires 20 frames, even just the absolute microscopic bit of movement on her head is captured because it's flash.
Of course.
So trying to get her sharp was bloody hard.
Yeah.
And I didn't achieve it. I didn't achieve it in the very quick period of time we had to shoot. I didn't solve the problem.
Right.
Where that many frames, and remember, she's moving her arms up and down as well, which is inevitably going to move you, even just half a centimeter, even.
Yep.
And it's going to cause you grief.
Yep.
As indeed it did. The shot was still cool, but the problem was that, it just doesn't have that crystal sharpness to it. You have to excuse the bleep as it comes through on Skype.
Yeah.
I'm going to send you a link to the shot I'm talking about so you can visually see what I'm talking about.
Okay.
About the movement side of things on her head.
Yeah, right.
So you can see the effect is fabulous. I mean, she's got all these arms going on. She's got these wings look absolutely incredible.
Yeah.
But she's got that like a shake going on.
Yep.
Yeah. Which, as I said, I didn't get time to solve that problem.
You almost need to take a second shot straight after it.
Well, realistically, you do a single shot and you Photoshop her in. Yeah, that's the easiest solution.
Yeah.
is to do it that way. But in the very brief period of time we were going, we dealt with what we dealt with. Yeah, and I'm gonna do a couple of little beeps just to annoy the sound engineer on this show.
Yeah,
or he's a bit of a pain, the audio engineer. He doesn't like those little beeps going off. But there you are. And then there's the strobing effect.
Just loading that one up.
So you put these links in the podcast so people can have a look as well.
Yeah,
so
for sure.
Then you get the strobing effect,
right?
Going on, which is pretty cool.
Cool.
You can. I think what's great about these lights, and I haven't installed more. What's great about these lights is it just opens up another level of creativity. It just allows your brain to think. Well, what else can I do?
Yep.
What other options are there? Ways can I now play with light because I've got these extra tools? And the image I just sent through, then that's the freezing midair shot.
Oh, wow.
Pretty cool, isn't it?
Yeah, that's great.
It's powerful. That's the best shot of the day.
Yeah, right.
I'll send through this one of me Don't demonstrate what you want the model to do when someone's got close access to your camera. And the funny thing is, the man who pressed the button has a beef to pick with you. He thought he still did, even though you've actually addressed his concerns.
Oh, is this Craig Wetchin?
It certainly is. I said, oh, you know, I love your man shed stuff, Craig, but gee, that HDR's a bit over the top you're doing. He just looked at me. Oh, I had to poke the bear. That's a nice guy, Craig.
No, he reached out to me today and he said, mate, we'd love to catch up with you sometime. And I said, well, if you're ever up in Sydney, give me a holler. I'd love to catch up. And I said,
well, fisticuffs, dude. I think he's meaning like, ten paces at dawn.
And I said, if I'm ever heading south of the border, I'll get Glyn to hook us up. And he went, oh, I didn't realise you were in Sydney. And I went, yeah. So, and he said, I promise not to bring up HDR.
I came up with an idea for a new podcast yesterday.
Oh, yeah?
But it's kind of without you.
Right.
And I've suggested to Craig, and he's up for it, so we might just go off and do that one.
Excellent.
No, it's a separate project. I'll tell you about it later because I need to answer some of the technical questions.
Right.
It's not a weekly thing. It's like a once-in-a-blue-moon thingy.
Right.
So, So I went down to the studies college, and we did this stuff with Craig and hit the rest of the teachers down there.
Yeah.
And that was fun. Cool. Oh, the other thing I wanted to show them was the Elenchrom Indirect. Which is I'm a great representative for the company. Can't remember the name of the product.
Not an Octobox.
Anyway, it's called an Indirect.
But what is it? What does it do?
Oh, it's a soft box.
Right. Okay. Thank you.
And it's the shape. I'm straight. It's not an octagon. It's anyway. It is. Right. It's an octagon.
If it's got eight sides.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's like an umbrella. But I've got to tell you, but the difference is the studio light mounts inside the softbox facing to the back of the softbox, like you'd fire into an umbrella.
Right.
Okay, and then spreads out and hits the baffles and hits the secondary baffle. But of all the softboxes...
So somewhat in a similar way to the way a beauty dish works, kind of?
No.
Because beauty dish goes, it reflects twice, doesn't it?
It goes forwards into the dish and then reflects
back into the box and then back out.
No, a beauty dish... Basically, you're firing it directly at the subject, but it's a deflector in front of the light.
Right.
The flash hits the deflector, then bounces back into the beauty dish, expands, and comes straight forward. But the flash is actually aimed directly at the subject.
Sure, that's something like what I said, but anyway.
No, you said it's firing backwards. Anyway. It's not firing backwards, it's firing forwards.
Yeah. I did correct myself and say that. I said, it fires forward into the dish.
No, I don't listen. Yeah. But I've got to say, of all the softboxes I've ever used, this thing has the most even light output of anything I've ever seen.
Right.
It is wonderful. It's beautiful. There's not a specular highlight to be seen. And this girl just been running around, jumping up, down. Well, I'm assuming if it was me, I'd have worked out more than a sweat. I'd have been like a half an ocean. But I assume she worked up a little bit of perspiration. And then we put her in front of this soft box, and there's not a tiniest hint of specular highlight.
Right.
Straight out of the camera, it is just gorgeous. And I shot my daughter a couple of days earlier using the same light source. It was like, wow. Yeah, it's just cream.
Cool.
It's just soft and creamy and beautiful, and I've never used that. It's so good, and all the teachers at Photographic Studies College were saying, "Yeah, it looks like it's been photoshopped already."
Yeah, right.
Yeah, it's that even across the face. You say, "Well, yeah, there's
okay." So, were there Elenchrom people there?
There was one guy from the importers from KL was there. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. Oh, he's to do the technical stuff because I don't.
Robert Gatto.
No, he's the owner.
Right.
A guy called Michael Marlborough
okay.
who was there.
So I'm guessing that he would know the technical specs of this softbox. What is it that Elenchrom have done that makes the light so smooth in comparison with other softboxes?
But it's just the way it's firing backwards into itself.
Oh, okay.
It takes that hot spot out. Right. All softboxes that face forward have a hot spot. They can't not. But this just takes what happens is they've also got this other cloth, so it basically fires into the softbox itself, yep. Which let's face it, looks like an umbrella, a big one, but an umbrella. But it also hits. It's got this layer of fabric in the center where it hits as well, So it's been diffused by the it's not sort of hitting straight onto the reflective panel of this inside of the softbox. It's hitting this the hardest, hottest part of the light is hitting this white fabric first.
Right.
Which, of course, is going to soften it even more than hitting a silver reflective surface. And then wrapping, then it's going to go through two baffles and come out. And
so how many baffles are inside this thing?
There's two.
Two, yeah.
Internal and external.
Nice.
But then so there's this like a quasi-baffle because it's firing at this piece of fabric that's sort of built into the inside of the softbox.
Right, yep.
And I'm quite sure that's a fair reason, a fair extra little tweak that just gives it a softer light again.
Yeah, right.
So nice. that was a lot of fun. It was a good day.
Yeah.
It was good to go out and to do something a bit different. Yeah, leaping, dancing girls. It's not my normal shtick.
Mm-hmm.
So that was kind of fun.
Yeah.
And then that's kind of it for the week. I haven't been doing much in the way of photos this week. Other than it's school holidays, so I've been kind of running around trying to entertain, do a thing called parenting,
right.
Mr. Clark, Mr. Richard Clark, if you're listening. doing this thing called parenting. But I do have a confession to make, Bruce.
What's that?
I listened to some of that podcast.
Which one?
Last week's.
Oh, okay.
Last 90 seconds.
Okay.
That's why I hung up to see what I missed out on.
And
so, what was it? What was going on in Sydney that was so exciting? Couldn't see you had me on. You had me on tenterhooks. So I couldn't not. Well,
clearly not, because you hung up on me.
But then afterwards I say, oh, it might have been so good that I might have wanted to go to Sydney for it. So I had to have a listen. I had to wait till Sunday and then have a listen. It wasn't, which is kind of good, but. So I can no longer say I've never listened to our podcast, I'm afraid. I've now listened to a full 90
Jerry.
Seconds of it. Anyway, that's enough about me. What have you been doing this week?
Editing.
Excellent. So what I've got...
More editing.
Oh, still going with editing for the rally stuff?
Still going.
Do you have a deadline for this?
Yes, I do.
When did it pass?
October. Yeah. No, I think I've broken the back of it now. It's due the October the 18th, so I'm still 3 weeks out.
Okay.
But I took all of this week off work to work on this stuff because I knew that there was more than I could possibly get through in just my evenings and my weekends.
Yeah. And be persona non grata to your family.
Yeah, exactly. So I've now finished... the photo books are now at the printers, so they're starting to work on the printing stuff. I finished editing the video last night, and now I'm in the process of compiling the DVD, which has got to have, the highlights video, a separate video slideshow of each day's photos. So there's, and then... And then a web browser version of the slideshow so people can, look at it in their web browser and look at each image individually. So it's quite a complicated process. And having never compiled a DVD, I was completely new to the idea of, how the structure is built up of you've got to have, menu items and you've got to have submenus and you've got to, create the navigational links so that when you press the right arrow button from one thing, where does it go to? And
oh my goodness,
it's pretty complex. So yeah,
that job's starting to sound like work, dude.
Seriously. Seriously. But anyway, it's been a lot of fun. I was seriously concerned when I started out that I wasn't going to get through it all in the 6 or 7 weeks that I had. But I just went hard right from the beginning because I thought I just cannot afford to...
Don't put it off, yeah.
No, exactly. So I'm kind of glad that I've made the progress I have. And I've got all of the DVDs printed in a disc printer. So I've got 100 discs sitting here on my desk. And I've said to Max... I'll give you $100. You got to put all the printed slicks into the jewel cases because the printed slicks have come back from the printer.
Yeah.
So you got to put all the slicks into the slip case, and then you've got to once I've compiled the DVD, I'll create an ISO image of the of the disc master, and then I'll set up some disc copying software on his computer, and he can sit there and copy 100 DVDs for me. And then he's got to put the 100 burnt discs into the jewel cases and close them up. And I said, I'll give
He doesn't.
$1 per unit.
No, he doesn't. He's got one more step first.
What's that?
He's got to put it in and make sure it runs.
Ah, yeah, I suppose.
You don't want to send out a dud disc.
That's true.
You got to at least,
yeah. Yeah. So anyway, so to him, $100 is a fortune. So he's absolutely stoked.
But a bit like you. You're quoted for the job. Now you're realizing how much work it is. He's going to be exactly the same. You know, when he's 20 in, he'll be going, Dad, it's not enough money. Keep your 100. I'll give you the 20 for free. Keep your 100. I'm done. You have to up the ante. You're going to have to up the offer. No, I'm making 150, son. No, Dad.
No, the thing was, I said to him, you only get paid when you finish all 100 of them.
Exactly. So when he's 20 in, he's going to realize just how much work it is and give up. So here's, if you haven't got it written down in the contract, you can't sue him. You're stuck. Your labor force is going to leave you, and you're going to be stuck doing the job. He's going to hold out for $250.
No, he's not.
You'll do 20. You go, this is too much. You can do the other 80, Dad. You're not going to want to.
Nah.
You're going to have to go. You have to pony up more cash.
Trust me. He thinks $100 is fantastic.
Now. He hasn't started doing the job yet.
He has. He's halfway through putting the slicks into the cases.
It's the burning the DVDs. Oh, God.
So anyway.
You should maybe set up like a time-lapse video of him doing it. You know, you can see when the head hits the ground and he's stomping up and down and cursing. Oh, it'd be great to watch.
Yeah.
Speaking of his 21st.
Yeah, exactly. A couple of things on my list.
How old's your son again, sorry? Just for
13.
Are we talking child labour laws here? Is this an acceptable based pay rate?
Absolutely. He sees it as one more game from EB Games. The way he views it. So I'm just like, whatever. It's your money. You do what you like with it.
Exactly. Yeah.
So anyway.
Yeah, you weren't it.
Last week, we were talking about the Montreal Olympics in 76.
Were we?
Yeah, we were. I can't remember.
This was after I hung up.
Can't remember. No. Before that, you were you said something about the Olympics, and you said 1976, and I said Montreal. Yeah. And anyway, later on, I went off to just double check and make sure Montreal was 76. I was pretty sure that I was right, and I was.
Yeah.
But what I discovered was that the logo for the 1976 Montreal Olympics looked like someone flipping the bird. Did you see it?
I didn't see it.
Do a Google search for 1976 Montreal Olympics logo and have a look. It's this sort of the five Olympic rings, but then it's got this kind of extension that goes north of the middle of the top row of rings, and it looks like a hand flipping the bird.
All sorts of evil connotations if you look at it too long.
Yeah. I thought that was really weird. I was, you know, obviously way too young at the time to
well back in the 70s.
Yeah, to pick up on the significance of that.
That's right. I went to see Grease in the 70s when the first week it came out.
At the cinema?
It didn't get any of the sexual innuendo at all.
Yeah, right.
The whole thing about Grease Lightning, they missed it all. Yeah, like 20 years later, it finally hit me. Yeah.
Yep. It's like watching The Simpsons with your kids.
Yeah.
They get a certain level and you get so much more. I also, the top link that I sent you, which will be in the show notes, was to the wildlife photographs of the year. There are some absolutely gorgeous images in there, but I just want to bring your attention to one of them because I wanted to get your thoughts. About halfway down, there's an image called Cayman Night, and it's a river, obviously in South America, absolutely full of caiman, which are like a small crocodile.
At night.
Obviously shot at night.
Yeah.
But I'm wondering, what do you reckon the light source was here? Because it's obviously
a bright one.
A very bright one.
Because we were lighting up some eyes a long way down that, that lake.
Yeah. And it's clearly a fair way back because the light fall off is not particularly rapid.
You didn't give me much prep time for this, having actually seen it this very second.
Sorry, mate.
Or otherwise, I could have researched the light reflectivity of the Cayman Eye.
Glyn, do some research.
The light reflectivity of the Cayman Eye may be supernatural compared to other animals.
Right.
It could be that the guy had a very small light, but they have very reflective eyes. Yeah, we're making assumptions here. Either that, or he's just photoshopped in a whole bunch of little candles in the water, you know, afterwards.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm trying to figure out even the direction of the light source.
Well, it's clearly off to camera left.
You reckon?
Yeah, because it's shining. If you look at the Cayman themselves.
Zoom in, but it's not quite a high enough quality.
What's that? Yeah.
It's not quite high enough quality.
The light source, to me, appears to be off to camera left.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, yeah. But it's not much. It's pretty much almost on camera.
You reckon? Yeah,
but it's a fraction off, but not much.
Okay.
Some of these suckers, they're almost facing straight at the camera, and both sides are reasonably well lit.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
But what gets me is it can't have been right near the camera because the fall off.
Yeah, there's. Unless yeah, it's the multiple one, shots.
Well, that's possible, I suppose.
It's possible.
Yeah.
If you look at it might be a bit boring for listeners, but the first 30 feet, you can see the Cayman bodies. The rest is just the reflectivity of the eyes, realistically.
Right, yep.
So maybe it's, obviously that eye reflectivity. But he's lit
the riverbank.
Well, here's the thing. It's probably a long time exposure.
Right.
It's got to be, is looking at the sky, there's a bit of movement. It's probably at least a 30-second exposure. So he's just light painted the foreground and light painted the background. So that's how he's got the whole thing.
Okay.
He's painted across, he's sweeped across, painted foreground and background separately. It's not one boof of light.
Yeah, right.
It's I painted here, I painted there, I painted everywhere.
Mm.
And sort of the midsection between them and the land where it's just kind of black water, obviously you can see there's Cayman there, but they're not lit. So he's obviously not light painted that section.
Right.
Because you can see the land is perfectly lit,
yeah.
So it's obviously powerful enough to do that.
Yep.
But he hasn't really lit those mid ground animals,
right?
Which probably may have added or taken away from the thing. I don't know.
Mm.
So yeah, there you are. That's my assumption.
Yeah.
So the next Dante's Inferno.
Yep.
Now, if you look at the pictures of the actual paintings from Dante's Inferno,
right.
And then look at this photograph.
Yep.
You'll see exactly what it's called. That's right. Fabulous. Yeah, that is fabulous. Yeah, the flamingos, dawn liftoff, tremendous. Yep. Yeah,
there's some gorgeous images.
There is some little one of the snail, a couple
yes.
further down. Yeah, fabulous. Some gee, I hate people with talents. Look at this stuff. The one a few more down, the cheetah in the rain.
Yeah.
Feeding.
And a few more beyond that, there's one called Big Mouth, which is great. Love it.
Big Mouth. Oh, man.
How good is that?
That's tremendous.
I don't know that I want to be in the water with that thing right there, but anyway. Anyway, the next one I saw, I got a few off DIYphotography.net this week. This was about the attorney in California.
Oh, yeah. I had this link as well, yeah.
It's unbelievable. So this woman, who is an attorney, has photoshopped her face.
It's like a cheap lawyer, though, isn't it, an attorney?
What?
Attorney's just like a cheap lawyer, isn't it?
Oh, I don't know.
Is your hierarchy of lawyers? Yeah,
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know.
I mean, was she for the prosecution or the defense? It makes a difference too, you know.
I'm sure Freiberg could fill us in where attorneys fit into the ladder. But yeah, so she's photoshopped her face in with all these celebrities and then posted those images on her business website to make it look like she has all of these.
Connections,
yeah.
It is very bizarre.
And on the original post on DIY Photography, they were saying, what do you think? Was the suggested 6-month suspension and a 2.5 year probation strict enough? I'm thinking no.
Yeah.
This is an attorney. They're meant to be held to a higher standard than us mere mortals.
Attorneys. Lawyers. High standard. so she's working for the prosecution then, obviously. Oh, yeah. There's note as queer as folk, as people say where I come from. Yeah.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter what your station in life is, there's oddballs. There's people who just. On a similar vein this week, I think it might have been Carl Hemming posted on their Facebook wall a not dissimilar link to a woman who's been caught out using Photoshop, where she convinced her family that she'd gone off traveling around Asia.
Yes.
When in actual fact, she'd just been sitting in a London flat photoshopping herself into photos and hadn't gone anywhere.
Yeah, crazy.
Just as queer as folk.
Yep. So the next one that I came up with was the optical illusion turns celebrities into monsters. This is one that you can just go and watch on your own. It's a YouTube video, and it's basically got two photos of celebrities at the left and right extremities of the video frame, and a little cross right in the middle, and you focus on the cross, and as all these images cycle through, the eyes become severely distorted, or at least your perception of their eyes becomes really distorted, and it's very, very trippy. So anyway, that's just some fun to waste some time with. Adobe has announced they have acquired a company called Aviary. These guys developed a software developer kit, an SDK, which is used as the back end of a whole bunch of mobile / photographic type websites. And basically, it's just Adobe making a further push to extend their software's capability for editing in mobile environments, basically getting away from the desktop and the laptop.
More and more.
Yeah. So be interesting to see where.
I didn't hear any of that. I was just staring at those optical illusions.
It's pretty creepy, isn't it?
There's some weird. There's some sort of trick to it, but it's not. It's real, man.
Yeah. It's creepy. Anyway. So anyway, I'll have the link in the show notes for anyone who wants to check out the Adobe thing. The last one that I had was another one from, this was from digitalphotographyschool.com.
Melbourne friend.
Yes. It's just a comparison of different mobile triggers for your DSLR setup. So Trigger Trap was in there, and there were a couple of others whose names I don't remember. Let me scroll down. Trigger Happy.
Smart Shutter.
IO Shutter Pro. Is that the one you've got?
Yeah, they're fabulous.
Do you ever use it?
Never.
No.
No, that's it. That's not quite the right question. It's have.
Have you ever used it, Glenn?
No. my mate in England makes it, so I've got to
be there. Adam sent us a bunch of stuff on the Facebook wall.
Surely there's more in the market than those few they found.
Oh, there's definitely more. I know there's the Nero trigger, and that wasn't mentioned in that one.
That's the problem with these things when you're trying to, which one should you choose? And if you don't show them all, it's kind of, who would come to something like that with any sort of research or, any sort of planning into an event? So just call himself a podcast.
Google Glass. Did you see this light meter software thingy for Google Glass that Adam posted today?
Look at that. I see it now.
So basically this is software that you can load onto Google Glass, and it will act as a light meter for wherever you are looking. So
are we talking spot meter or centroid average or matrix?
Don't know.
Because I'd like to, I want to look at the spot, not necessarily, I want to be able to make sure I'm getting the bits that I want.
Yeah, fair enough. But I don't know.
Yeah, that's right. You've researched it.
Totally. Adam researched it.
We should do a blog post on it.
Yeah. Did you see the one about the National Geographic stealing guy's image?
I briefly came across it. I didn't actually get to read it. It's
so essentially this guy had an image up on a website with a Creative Commons license on it. National Geographic took it, didn't attribute the source of the image, didn't offer to pay for the image, were basically happy to just send the lawyers out when this guy said, hey, you've stolen my image and you owe me for it. And the lawyers basically wrote back and went, you know, it's going to cost you an arm and a leg if you want to pursue this. Based on what we've used, we think that fair compensation would be $1,350. However, we'll double that and make it $2,700 for you to shut up and go away.
Hmm.
And this guy's gone, nah, I'm going to fight it. So, yeah, it's pretty harsh to think that a magazine like National Geographic, which has pretty much, you know, made itself on photography.
Well, since 1906.
Yeah, after boardroom, I mean, you know.
After that boardroom shuffle, yeah, we were talking about a couple
exactly.
of weeks ago.
Exactly. You know, I mean, it's primarily, I mean, yes, they write great articles, but it's the images that really sell it.
The pictures. They're good articles.
There you go.
I read Playboy, but look at the pictures in National Geographic.
Yeah, I just think it's pretty low that they would.
Yeah, I agree. That's pretty darn poor.
I mean, the thing is, if they'd gone to the guy and offered him the $1,300, he probably would have jumped at it.
Yeah.
For the honour of being able to say I had an image published in National Geographic.
Yeah, it's interesting who he is and where his status as a shooter is and whether you think that's a fair recompense or not. Yeah, but still.
Anyway. Adam also sent us a link to a plug-in for Lightroom, which if you're shooting with a Canon camera, this will show you in Lightroom which of your focus points were used at the time of pressing the shutter. So in other words, which focus points were active and therefore which parts were were sharp in the opinion of the camera at the time you took the shot.
I've got that built in.
Your eyes?
Call me eyes. Yeah, if it's in
that's
focus,
exactly
that's
what I was
focused.
Thinking.
Well, it's a plane at which it focuses, let's put it that way at least.
Yeah, but I was thinking pretty much the same thing. Like, why would I need to know which focus knows? Because you can.
Because you can. Because at Photographic Studies College yesterday, we were talking about a certain brand of Wi-Fi transmitter that you can do Wi-Fi shooting to laptop rather than being tethered.
Right.
And Craig was saying he had set of students had a 3-hour block to shoot and spent 2 hours 45 trying to get the technology working to stream the photos rather than shoot.
Crazy.
Sometimes just because you can doesn't mean you should.
Yeah. And the last one that Adam had was the Kickstarter project for the fake phone, the no phone.
The no phone. Yeah.
That's awesome.
For those just can't not have that little bit of weight or feel in the pocket, feel paranoid.
Yeah. I loved the FAQ. Does it have a camera? No. Is it Bluetooth compatible? No. Does it make calls? No. Is it toilet bowl resistant? Yes.
Yes. Absolutely. Drop resistant. Absolutely. Yeah. You can probably run your car over the top
of it. That's it.
I've only got a couple of things.
Yeah. So
it's probably a slightly faster episode.
Yeah.
A shorter episode. But here's the thing, though. If people feel aggrieved at missing out on the last 10 minutes or so, I talk so bloody fast. You could probably slow down your podcast playback to like half speed, get a good hour and a half out of the podcast rather than the 40 minutes or 50 minutes we're going to give you.
Right.
Probably sound better. Anyway.
So Forest Service says...
Yeah, so US National Forest Service is looking at trying to charge the media a $1,500 shooting permit to shoot in the... Regardless of whether you're shooting with your phone, whether you're shooting... They tried doing something similar here a couple of years ago, as we know, with Arts Freedom Australia sort of tried to fight some of these things.
Which was only in national parks, wasn't it?
Exactly. And this is, once again, this is national, in their national parks. But here's the stupid thing, right? It's a $1,500 permit.
Yep.
And you could be in the middle of outback who knows where, right?
Yeah, and no one would know.
But if you get caught, it's a $1,000 fine.
Are you kidding?
Up to a $1,000 fine. So the fine's cheaper than the permits.
I plead the National Geographic defence.
Exactly. It's
cheaper to pay the fine.
I don't understand what's going on. Yeah. And this is like a $1,500 per year permit. And then, yeah, it's $1,000 per offence. You could, it could add up, but but that's an interesting little thing. And this one's been doing the next one's been doing a bit of a buzz around the net, and even made our newspaper here yesterday.
Oh, okay.
On iconic portrait photos throughout history, recreated by John Malkovich, or using John Malkovich as subjects, which is too much time on your hands.
That is when you think about it.
It's like, my movie career is not going so well. I'll just waste a lot of time doing this. But there's some cool stuff. It's very well done.
Very well done.
I love the Dali shot if you get to it. And
Which one's Dali? Am I going to know it when I see it?
Well, if you recognize Salvador Dali, you will.
Yes.
He's like a melted clock.
Yeah.
It's an iconic picture of Dali being recreated. This is great. But yeah, just brilliantly done.
Yeah.
So
that's awesome.
That's been humping around.
God, that must have taken some time to put that together. Like
absolutely. It's not just a quick project. Absolutely. That's seriously studying the lighting on some of them, the costumery on the others.
Finding props.
I mean, even sometimes like the haircuts on the extras are so similar to the original. I mean, that's some serious work.
Yeah.
You know? So it's not just done for a bit of a lark. It's got serious artistic intent, as anything John Malkovich does.
Yes.
I was looking on DxO, the software and hardware analyzing company.
Yep.
They've been doing their phone tests.
Recently,
and checking out all the latest phones. And on September 21st, there was this big announcement. Sony XP3 ties for first place in mobile imaging tests. Woohoo! Now, this XP3's got up there. It's the best of the best of the best.
Right.
2 days later.
Yep.
Apple 6 wins. Yeah, the new, there's another new, something new on the market, and it's even better. They had their joy for 2 whole days.
Right.
What's the point of this stuff? You know? It's like you can't buy a case for your phone anymore because the phone changes before your case. Yeah, your case lasts, your phone changes.
Yeah.
Nothing. Yeah. And that's why that camera we were looking at last week, which is the 28mm F2 case that goes on your phone. Well, that's a $500 case for a phone that's going to last you a year, 18 months.
Yeah.
And that's not going to fit the next phone.
No. I was thinking about this only the other day, the fact that I bought a mount for, you know, like suction cup on the windscreen of the car mount for my Galaxy S5. And I'm thinking, you know, and I bought that for the rally because I needed to, you know, use my phone as the trip meter. And I was thinking, you know, come January when the Galaxy S6 comes out. I'm on the S4 and I'm waiting for the S6. You know, when the S6 comes out, it's probably not going to fit and that bracket will be useless to me.
I got an extended battery life case for my iPhone.
Right.
It costs $140 for the case. Yeah, it's good. It saved all my battery problems, but it's a great case. But
So the case actually has a battery in it?
Yeah, the case gives me 150% extra battery power on my phone.
Okay.
So yeah, now being an iPhone, I can now go 3 whole hours without recharging.
Right. Now you're living.
Before 50 minutes. No. But there's the iPhone 6 and 6 Plus. And, well, I probably don't want to get one because the case isn't going to fit. And that was, you know, I get the phone for free.
Your 6, you can fold it up, mate. It bends.
Good point. It does bend up into whatever size case you need to go into, which is... I've heard about these flexible screens coming for years, you know. Apple, they're ahead of the curve.
Boom, boom.
that's a good bad one. And the last thing I've got was this. I didn't really go into the article because it was boring me.
So now you're going to inflict it on us as well.
Yeah, but the first line was good. I thought it was pretty good for discussion. Was that the death of the compact camera is good for photographers.
Oh, okay, as a professional industry.
No, as the amateur photographer.
Right, okay.
And their theory was, well, the mainstay of camera companies for so long, there have been this entry-level, mid-level compact cameras. That's where the volume's always been.
Yep.
And now that's completely dried up.
Right.
So now they're having to try and find new ways to be viable.
Yep.
And they're pumping all this new effort into these new styles of compacts and rangefinders, these putting much more research and time into the, upgrading the SLRs they've got in their ranges. So they're saying the development pathway for this type of cameras can be substantially increased because, well, they're not spending, spending their time doing this stuff, but also if they don't do it, they're not going to be around much longer.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a fascinating thing. You look at some of the, like the Panasonic LX100 and the new Canon GX7, these amazing compact cameras that are coming out, and the Fujis and the Olympus OMDs, and there's some incredible cameras coming out, but they kind of have to be incredible because they've got nothing else to fall back on anymore.
Yeah, they've got to be a step above the compacts that we had because, as you say, they're going by the wayside because everyone's using their phones.
Also, the compacts as they had was, other than the zoom feature, it's the same as what we get with our phone, but our phones do more because of our apps.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The only place your phone falls down is in the lack of any optical zoom. You know, it's all digital zoom.
Sworn I just said that.
Well, you didn't say optical zoom.
Well, it doesn't have to. I said the difference is they have a zoom. These don't. Yeah.
Well, no, because your phone does have zoom, but it's digital
zoom. We're talking zoom, not that other technical crap. We're talking actual zoom, optical zooms. Yeah. We never talk digital zoom because, well, no one ever uses it. It's just garbage.
Yeah, they do.
I know, but only in a pinch. Anyway, that zebra is just too for that. But given that, mind you, if you look at some of these super zoom compacts that are coming out, what did we talk about last week? The one that goes to like 21 to 11.
To 1600 mil. Yeah.
That's it. I had a guy at a workshop last week, and he had a camera, he had a 60 times zoom.
Wow.
Oh, man. Yeah, I pulled out my 150 to 600.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was just 10 times the size of his camera. And they go, wow. So, half the power of your camera, dude.
Yeah.
At best.
Yeah.
It's just interesting how that fall over of the mainstay could be the savior of camera companies.
Yeah.
It's kind of an ironical pathway. Yeah, they've been forced to be much more innovative, been forced to push technology further and faster than they may have done otherwise.
Yeah.
As one thing falls over, that kind of helps out in the long run anyway. So I thought that was kind of interesting.
Hmm. Excellent.
Yes.
Well, good to talk to you again.
What are you up to for the rest of the week? Anything exciting?
Actually got the Outlaws coming tomorrow.
Mm. You like them, don't you?
Yeah, I do.
Because the wife's in the room, isn't she?
So, she's in bed in the next room. So they're arriving tomorrow. Max will get home from Cadet annual camp on Saturday. He's been away for 8 days.
Wow.
And they're not allowed to take a phone with them, so we've had no contact him for 6 days so far, and Kat's really starting to get a bit antsy. So he comes home Saturday. I think he's going to be one very dire little boy when he gets here.
Oh, yeah.
And then Sunday, Kat's brothers are all coming up from Sydney for a barbecue. So,
joyous, mate. Yes. A busy
weekend. Yeah,
I've got a workshop tomorrow.
Cool. Tomorrow,
followed by a bucks night.
Yeah,
straight afterwards.
Wow,
it's gonna be fun. Followed by a workshop
on Saturday.
Yeah, followed by a boys' night out.
Oh, jeez.
Followed by a wedding
on Sunday.
Yeah,
you're shooting a wedding.
I'm in the wedding.
How'd you get roped into that?
It's one of those things, and someone asks a question, and everyone steps backwards, and you didn't quite hear the question. And you're looking around, I'm in it then. So I'm in a wedding party. Yep. It's going to be one hell of a long weekend.
Yeah. Jesus, not much nap time in there, mate.
But so the Bucks party is for my mate Adam, who's a mad music fiend.
Oh.
And it's they'll go to Coachella in America, one of the big festivals in America. So they've set up, and my mate Adam's nickname online is Don Key.
Yes.
They're doing Donkeyella, and they've set up his entire house as a music festival. They've got these guys coming to do music, play band. There's a couple of guys coming to do sets of music. They've got bars. They've got pinball machines. It's gonna be a long night.
Wow.
It's could be a bit of fun. And my job is to be the pit photographer.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
So it'll be a challenging night as well.
I don't know if he's mentioned to you, but just in the last 24 hours, Springsteen's announced that in November they're releasing the album collection Volume 1, 1973 to 84, on vinyl.
Wow. Ooh, he's got them all anyway.
Yeah, I know he has. I got rid of mine.
Four times, all signed.
Yeah, I know. The bugger.
Man's a freak. Yes. Anyway, I thought we stretched it over to 50 minutes after all. There we go.
Absolutely. All right, mate. Will you have a good weekend?
A little.
You'll be really hanging out for a nap on Monday.
Well, another week of school holidays.
Oh, yeah.
And I've got both kids off next week.
Oh, no.
Hello. Whose idea was that?
All right, mate.
I haven't had a single nap during the day this week. It's done me right.
You must be wrecked.
I am. I'm picking up.
All right, mate. Talk to you next week.
We will. Take care, mate. Bye, everyone.
Shutters Inc., another audio2you.com quality podcast. For previous episodes, check out shuttersincpodcast.com or search the iTunes Music Store. For questions, comments, and feedback, email theboys@shuttersincpodcast.com.